You can be as loud as the hell you want when you're making love, but when bodily fluids get into the mix, things can get really messy. And some people just aren't ready for cleanup in aisle one.
Today, the hilarious Carmen Nybarger joins us to talk about the juicy and wild things that happen in the bedroom. Folks who freak out when the sheets get a little dirty, and why riding the Red River ain't such a bad thing.
Plus, the true story of that strange viral moment on Feast of Fun where our audience got into cake sitting to protest the war in Iraq and marriage inequality.
Are saline drips good for hangovers?
The girl who encouraged her boyfriend to end his life through texts was inspired by the TV show Glee.
And late-night grocery stores are locking up their ice cream to keep customers from licking it in the Bluebell Challenge.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Our guest today is comedian Karma Nybarger, who's been very busy this summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Getting it in.
And out.
And changing her name, right?
Just all over the place. Yeah.
So you went from Karma Nybarger to Karma Rae Gold because you wanted to bring in money into your life.
Yes.
And you were not successful with that.
Right. So I'm just
But you brought a guy named Ray into your life.
Ray, that's a good one.
And his dick was golden.
Yeah, the man with the golden gun.
All right.
That's why you're smiling.
Yeah, getting it in. So things have been good with him. And then, like, a couple days ago, he's all pouty. He didn't want to have period sex with me. I'm like, what the hell? I know. That was my reaction.
Not
I was
even
like,
semicolon?
No.
That's a dad joke,
exclamation
by the way.
Point sex. But you've had period sex with him before, right?
Yeah, on my sheets. This was the big difference.
Oh.
He didn't want to get his sheets all messed up.
So for the gay guys who are listening to this show and who are like, oh my God, you're going to talk about periods? It's a natural process.
It
comes from an opening between your legs. Every 30 days since you're a little teenage girl,
mm-hmm.
all the way up until womanhood,
yeah,
late womanhood, every 30 days,
28 days, isn't it?
Yeah, it's 28, but I'm not going to split hairs.
Yeah.
It's 28 days.
It's the lunar cycle.
It's your tie to the moon.
Yes, my uterine tie to the moon.
And what exactly is happening for when people don't know that what's going on there?
What's that connection like to the moon?
Well, I think it just has to do with like
There's two questions. Okay, she needs to answer one.
Okay.
I'm going to do the moon thing first because it's the one I know the least about. But I think it has to do with like just like the fluids in your body.
Yeah.
Just like the moon affecting the fluids of the earth and just like, ooh.
Come out. Okay.
Because when humanity was, going from hunter-gatherers to agrarian,
mm-hmm.
they discovered that the tying the... I don't know.
But you are a nurse.
Yeah, I am a nurse.
But they didn't
discover... But not an OB nurse. Okay.
Different kind of medicine.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too, is like when I got my period as a young lass, I wanted nothing to do with it. Like I had steady prayed throughout like my prepubescence to not have a period and to just like be one of these like barren women that you read about in the Bible. I was like, that sounds great.
You're on Ray's side.
Yeah.
So you know where Ray's coming from.
Yeah, exactly. But he was freaked out because the last time we had period sex in my sheets.
Yeah.
So you guys know it's not just like thin liquid blood. It's like your uterine
lining.
I'm
not a lady and I'm not familiar with that. I'm familiar with women's bodies to some degree.
Some people just do research. Some people just look on
Wikipedia.
Google images for fun.
Well, like my knowledge about sex on the menstrual blood is from the movie Showgirls.
Ah, okay.
Where Nomi
Very
Malone
informative.
Is with James Smith.
Uh-huh.
He's the choreographer, and she said they're hot and heavy, and they're about to have sex. And then she says to him, is like, I can't. I'm on my period. And he's like, bullshit. And he sticks his fingers inside her, and then they foley in the sound.
And
then she gets up and she says, "You can fuck me when you love me." Uh-huh. And he's like, "I got towels."
So that's what I told my boyfriend. I was like, "We can put down a towel," because he didn't want to like ruin his sheets. So I was like, "We can put down a towel."
Every gay man understands that. Yeah, part. The towel on the bed is ubiquitous.
Right. Well, sometimes this is the thing, like, you
know, I have found some gay guys like myself who don't give a fuck if we, you know, that's why I have white sheets, so I can put a bucket of bleach in the washing machine and just, you know, get rid of whatever's in there.
Well, right? You know what gets out of blood is spit. Oh. The enzymes in the spit will get rid of blood.
Well, I'll tell him. I'd be like, spit, baby, just spit on those sheets.
But there are some gay guys who literally, it is like American Psycho. They're going to wrap the whole bedroom in plastic before you have any sex, just in case something happens.
Like, they don't have washing machines?
It's like when you go to eat at one of those Chinese restaurants that the tablecloth is like 50 plastic tablecloths stacked on top of each other, and they just pull one off and ready for the next guy.
Next.
I'm like, is it that bad to do laundry? Like, well, you know,
if you don't have a washing machine in your building, or you have to go somewhere, it is a bit of a sacrifice.
Sometimes you want to hide the evidence.
Sure, that's what I think. I'm like, I feel like this is
so for women, in generally speaking, you know, when sex gets messy and, mm-hmm. you know, fluids get exchanged, whether you're on your period or not, mm-hmm. you know, if you're doing a little anal sometimes, mm-hmm. you know.
Blood will happen with anal.
That's
or
true.
Poopy fun. Yeah. Or as a, or what do they call it?
You get a whiff of the jiff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like there's no such thing as clean sex. There's no such thing as sterile sex. Like, that's not what sex is all about for me.
Mm. And it's not just about the fluids, it's also about the emotions and the relationships.
And that's messy too.
Yeah. So. It's not straightforward, people.
Yeah.
Life is a roller coaster, it's a wild rapid.
Yeah. So my feelings were really hurt. I was just like, what? I'm not worth doing laundry for?
Did you say this to him at the time, or was it something you were like?
No, at the time. So, like, I was hormonal, so I didn't say much of anything. I was just like, my feelings are hurt. And then I kind of, like, moved on because I was worried I was going to, like, say something that I couldn't take back. And then what, I kept ruminating on it, and I went home, and the first thing I did was log on to Amazon.com and buy him some black sheets and a mattress protector. And I sent him to his house, and he just texted me that he got them. I was like, thanks for the sheets. And
does
like,
he realize why you got him black sheets and a mattress protector?
Well, I texted him back. I was like, they're to hide stains. Like,
I don't think black sheets actually are good at hiding stains.
Really?
I think white sheets are the best.
I'll buy him some white sheets, too.
Because the thing about it is, it's like, if you get affordable white sheets, you either, you know, the stain doesn't come out, just throw them away and get a new one.
Yeah,
like Americans do.
I know.
We don't. Some bleach and some OxyClean go a long way.
You know what? That OxyClean's great.
And, you know, like, a lot of people have trouble getting rid of the lubricants, the silicone-based lubricants. And Mark, you found it like something that gets rid of it.
What do you use for that?
Just like Dawn detergent. Or shampoo works too. Like, this is for your body more than anything. But if you do get it on your sheets too, you can also just put some like Dawn detergent right on there.
Yeah.
Or just put the detergent on there, some hot water, and hopefully it'll go away.
Yeah, a little bit of grease buster. That makes sense.
Dawn gets rid of it.
So we've done a lot of product placement. Mm-hmm. So if anybody wants to sponsor us, that we've mentioned.
Did you get a chance to talk to him about riding the Red River? Is it like,
no, not yet. The last time where we left it, or where he left it, was like, "Oh, babe, I'm sorry we didn't have period sex. We'll do it next time on your sheets." And I'm like, "Oh, I don't like
so
that."
So it's a territorial kind
I
of
think
thing.
So too. Yeah. I'm like, "No. We're going to do it in your sheets. I'm going to stain the fuck out of them.
And you're going to like it.
And you're going to like
it. And then you're going to wash it like the bitch that you are." And then you slap them, and then everything's okay, right?
That's what I think. That's what I think it's going to take.
Well, you know, the other thing, though, too, is like, have you ever thought, like, well, if he doesn't want to have period sex, he's like, you know, do it doggy style or do anal or whatever.
Yeah.
Or a blowjob.
I mean, do it just standing up. Yeah. You're like, we don't even
hand
need
jobs.
To be on this.
You can mutual masturbate.
Yeah.
There's things you can do. The Christians, those, you know, fundamentalists, they love anal.
Yes, because I don't know why.
Because it's not considered sex.
Because it's not vaginal.
Yeah, they do a promise ring. I promise my daddy that the father gives the daughter a ring. Whoa. And he says, I want my baby to give up her pussy when she's married in the eyes of God.
But the butthole's for anybody.
Butthole's like, come on in, honey. You didn't even come in my butt because I'm on prep. You can do anything you want to. It's your birthday present. It's your pride present.
But you know, it's, you with the period sex, like my I have a friend. He listens to the podcast. I hope he doesn't mind me telling this story.
Yeah.
He and his friend, he and his fiance or partner or whatever, they were traveling together and they decided they were going to hook up with these two guys. So they went over to these guys' house and they started having sex, and his partner was topping the other guy, and then his other part, you know, his husband was like watching or whatever, and then all of a sudden he sees like all this blood on his partner, and he's just like, what's going on? And then the partner looks down, he says he sees all this blood on his chest from him fucking
like a murder
dude.
Scene.
Oh,
and
my
I
God.
Was just like, well, like, what are we talking? Are we talking like a tablespoon or something like that? A couple tablespoons? He's like, no, it was like a half cup of blood.
That's
a lot of blood.
That's,
you know,
why did they have a half a cup of blood?
So it came from this guy's butt. He must have had like something going on.
Yeah,
down there.
That's a medical problem.
That's a medical issue. And but then he was just like, you know, that kind of thing, just like wash up and act like, and he's like nothing happened. They kind of like wanted to keep going, and they had picked us up because we were traveling and took us like 15 miles outside of the city. And so here we are in this apartment, and we're just kind of like, it's just kind of like,
wait a minute, you just went from they to we.
Well, they
were you involved in this story.
I'm saying it as though they were telling the story, right?
Yeah.
And so he was telling us, like, he was telling me that they were like, hey, we were, you know, there. And then all of a sudden, like, these people wanted to kind of like keep it going. And, you know, you can handle a little bit of blood, a little bit of poop, keep it going, whatever. If something happens, you're just like, whatever, you're into it, keep it going. But they were just kind of like, it's hard to recover from being covered in blood.
Yeah, that's too much blood. At that point, you start to get worried. Like, you know? Is this person going to die?
Yeah, you want to stop and, you know, go see a doctor or something.
Yeah.
Urgent care.
Definitely, that's an urgent care time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot of blood to lose from your butthole,
yeah.
Right? As a nurse.
Yeah, like pop a tampon in that thing, go to the ER, get it checked out. You don't want to
lose
blood.
Oh, you can put a tampon in your butthole.
Why not?
Why not?
You know? Anytime you want, honey.
You thought
you ever put a tampon in your butt?
No.
You had sisters, right?
I just looked at it and go, what the fuck is this?
I put a tampon in my butt because I wanted to see what it was like.
Yeah.
I was just like,
and you couldn't get it out.
Cottony.
No, it was cottony and just kind of like, yeah, it was weird.
Yeah.
It was not what I expected.
My little sister.
I want to know what you expected.
I don't know.
Little Mark playing with tampons.
I wasn't that little.
My little sister, when she was going through her special time. No one explained her where the pad went, so she put it on her boobs.
No, she didn't.
I swear to God, she did.
Are you kidding me?
And I was laughing my ass off. I was like, she was like padding.
She thought she was going to, like, the blood was going to come. Where was your mother in this situation?
They were going through a divorce, you know.
Your sister was playing with you.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
She, I remember, and I was like, I don't think that's where
I'm
that goes.
I'm going to text her right now. Like, what is going on with
this? But that's the thing, is like, you know, I know some gay guys who will freak out if even lube gets on the bed.
Yeah.
And part of it is, you know, you can be as loud as the hell you want when you're making love, and sometimes things are going to get a little dirty.
Yeah.
Little, you know. But consent, protection, get on prep.
Yeah.
Do you even know what prep is, dear listener?
Yeah, isn't it our little HIV
pill.
Protector?
It's like the birth control
sexually
for
active.
HIV.
Yeah.
Everybody, if you're sexually active, male or female, straight, gay, or whatever, and in this young modern day and age, get on the blue pill.
Yeah, I think it's amazing. Like, I only recently, maybe in the last like half year, started seeing TV advertisements for PrEP. And I think it's fantastic that it's being advertised. I don't think that there's as much talk about it in the straight community, because every time I talk about it, nobody who's straight knows what the heck I'm talking about. And I'm like, but if you're sexually active, you're going to want to take this, because we're all at risk, you know, like condoms break. Sometimes use birth control
pills.
Especially if you're having sex with a lot of people. But also too, it's very important to remember. I don't know what it's like in the straight world, but in the gay world, like I think it's like 60 or 70% of new infections for HIV happen and come from your primary partner. So it's your partner who maybe hasn't been diagnosed yet. They don't know. You've decided, hey, let's not use condoms. And you're like, we're in love. We've been together 6 months and we didn't know he was positive. And now we're both positive.
Yep. There it goes.
And that's, you know, in terms of like Mark and I's sexuality, we came of age at the height of the AIDS crisis. And sometimes I think that that has affected us in ways we don't perceive.
For sure.
Definitely.
And, you know, and to me, I've always been fascinated by athletic men and muscular men. As a teenage boy, like my sexual awakening was the underwear ads in the Sears catalog.
Ooh.
And the lifeguards at the beach.
Yeah. And the Soloflex ads
those Soloflex ads.
The hour long ones where you had
still this masturbates guy with them. Like the nipples and everything.
He was masturbating. It's like a hard man is good to find.
Yeah.
And I think throughout the course of my life, I've always like cultivated a fascination with muscularity. And I always thought I was alone in that.
Mm.
And it's only in the past, 15 or 20 years of my life that I've started to understand that that's something just like some people are into foot fetishes or big tits or, blondes or, honey skin, gorgeous women or, thick and juicy guys. That's something that people are into.
Mm-hmm.
And I have friends who are heterosexual who would never do gay porn, who are making a good living doing muscle worship videos.
Ooh, tell me more about this.
And so one day I'm just opening up my YouTube to check in on the comments, to delete all the like transphobic, racist, Trump supporting comments that, litter your YouTube channel if you run a channel. And this recommended this muscle worship video.
Ooh.
By this guy who sounded ridiculous.
What was he saying?
He's like, I am big, strong man, and you are so puny. I am going to crush. I'm doing a perfect imitation of him. I am going to crush you like a tin can. Oh, I'm so big. I'm just like,
it sounds kind of like Disasterina on steroids.
Kind of. And I'm just like, this is really hard to masturbate to. Let me turn off the sound. And this is fabulous. I was like, this is really sexy. And so I subscribed to it. And then my friend, Thomas Terry, I guess he doesn't mind because, he's public about this. He started getting into the whole muscle worship video. Ooh. And Thomas is very like G-rated, very wholesome, Instagram personal trainer kind of guy. And so I started talking about it with him and he's like, oh, honey, it is the shit. I made so much money just doing 6 videos.
Wow.
And he's like, and I was
how
like,
how many minutes total did he film for 6 videos?
Well, the videos are about 12 minutes long. So 12 times 6
an hour and a half.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like, we all got to get into muscle. So I
Karma, start working out.
So yeah. I Googled this and the most lucrative demographic is female bodybuilders doing it for men.
Yeah.
And what they do? They crush watermelons between their legs or crush things.
Oh, I can't do that.
Gerbils. They used to crush gerbils. Maybe gerbils.
And then I started talking to another friend of mine about it, and his whole racket is that he has a client that he goes to his house and he picks up a cake from a bakery and he brings it over with one fork and he yells at him while he eats the entire cake.
Mm.
The entire time he's like, you are so greedy, you gluttonous pig. Look at you enjoying that chocolate cake. And he gets paid a lot of money to do that. I'm like, I am in the wrong job.
Same.
I want to apply for this job.
Same. Where are the job openings?
Where are the job boards?
I want to be a cake shaming dominatrix top.
Yeah. Where you go to their house.
Yeah.
Does he have to dress up?
He just wears jeans and a t-shirt, you know?
Well, he probably wears like some kind of Speedo or some kind of
does
outfit.
Does he get
kind
of naked a little bit?
Well, yeah, you take off your shirt.
I'm not sure about the details.
For muscle posing, you usually wear like a little Speedo or something. Okay. Some kind of shorts, maybe a jock strap. Uh-huh. And some guys do the muscle, you know, depending on how far
totally
you want to take
naked.
It. Completely nude, yeah.
Yeah.
You know? But part of it is like in the dynamic of the cake shaming.
Yeah.
It's the fact that you're like seen as this healthy, you know, Susan Powder kind
right.
of person.
Stop the insanity.
You know, like right. a fitness guru who's shaming you for being so indulgent in your junk food, you know?
See, I would love to just go to somebody's house and shame them, but I don't really want to do that exercising myself. Like, I like to do my little, like, what?
Pilates.
Yeah, 3 to 4 times a week, 20 minutes of blah, 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 Stairmaster or treadmill, and then call it a day. But I'm not trying to...
I just, you know, I'm very Mr. There's a side of me that's very Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
And then there's a side of me that's very Grace Jones.
Yeah. I just don't think you'd be able to keep it with a straight face.
No,
I don't think
no.
you'd be able to
laughing.
You'd have to have a fan you could like flip in front of your face and be like and hide it behind your
yeah.
face, you know?
Every now and then.
I'd be like a vampire. Because you saw what I wore for Pride. I dressed
oh, yeah.
up as a butterfly.
I love that.
And it was good because if I wanted to hide my face, mm-hmm. I just hid my face with a wing.
Yeah.
And I looked like a butterfly vampire.
Yeah. Maybe you could like walk out of the room and be like, don't follow me. I got to laugh.
Well, the thing about being dressing up as a butterfly, no one suspects you of anything.
No one suspects the butterfly.
You can rob a bank. You know?
We got robbed by a butterfly.
It's like, there was a butterfly that came in here.
A what?
Did he have a gun? No, it's the butterfly. But I just don't argue with a butterfly.
It's the butterfly effect.
No one suspects the butterfly. And I was, tell you, it's like, I returned like other parts of the costumes that we wore, but the butterfly wings, I kept it. I was like, I think I can do something with this.
I think you can do a lot with that.
Yeah. I'm like a part-time butterfly, part-time muscle worship, cake-shaming top.
But you have to learn yeah. your line.
What is my line?
I may have evolved from a wretched caterpillar into this beautiful butterfly, but this is not my final form. Hmm? You don't want to see me in my final form. Unless you're really horny.
Or into eating cakes. But you know, because this is the thing, is like a lot of my friends who do this kind of work, they're very, they're not imaginative as Mark and I are.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'd say that about them. They're not very creative people. Mm-hmm. So I think for them, it's just like, this is a job we'll do. Because to me, it's like, I got all these ideas. And I'm even laughing
I'm
and
like,
giggling about
yeah.
stuff.
I'm like, why stop at cakes? We'll bring pies, ice cream.
Yes.
We do this like mukbang. So, you know, because there's all this like, all this industry of filming shit that's mm-hmm. kind of a little bit twisted or questionable mm-hmm. and then putting behind a paywall mm-hmm. to charge for it. And I'm like, I could shame somebody eating a pizza or...
Yeah.
Do you know what mukbang is?
Isn't that with the noises?
No, mukbang, well, it's kind of, there is some noise to it, but it's a Korean thing where it's like you're eating just vast quantities of food. But then they okay. have that other thing, it was SMRS,
yes,
sensory something.
I was thinking of that one.
ASMR.
ASMR,
oh,
and that's what
it is. Such
like
an old fogey. That's the one with noises? What's the one with noises called?
I could do ASMR.
Ooh.
That would be so good, isn't it? I'm going to combine all the memes and fetishes into one perfect job for myself.
Do it now. Copyright
yeah.
it. Patent it.
Anybody who steals that, I'm going to force you to eat a cake.
It's going already.
Stream it on the internet
yeah.
for money. And you're going to like it. So anybody who wants to be a cake eating or junk food eating bottom... Who wants to pay to for me to laugh at them and humiliate them in front of a camera for other audiences, contact me. I'll yeah. do it.
Yeah.
I'll wear anything.
Ooh.
Anything?
I'll dress up as a butterfly.
Ooh.
See, this is great.
This is great.
Internet, you saved the day again. What else can you do? It's people sometimes think the internet is a you know money printing machine or something like that, and
isn't
it only works with the power of your creativity.
Mm-hmm. It's true,
and your ability to connect to other people. If mm-hmm. you can't, you're fucked. Because you know who's your own worst enemy? You.
Is that right?
This is getting a little bit into shaming. I feel ashamed.
You on the internet. Well, this is like your podcast.
This is what one of my friends posted on his Instagram account. And I thought it was really fucked up. Well, let me get you guys to... I'm not sure if these are like right-wing slogans or Instagram fitness model inspirational quotes.
Okay,
this one says, "Man cannot change himself without suffering, for he is both the marble and the sculptor."
Who?
Who said this? What?
This guy is Owen. His name, I don't want to give
so
him
So this
away.
Is fitness. Oh, I'm going to vote
fitness. It's fitness or fascism.
Oh. I'm going to vote fitness.
Fitness, correct. "Good things come to those who wait." No, scratch that. "Good things come to those who fucking earn it, bitch."
Fascist.
Fitness.
Oh.
Fitness.
Oh, wow. It's fitness. Off. Okay. It's a trick.
This one's pretty obvious. "Why do I respect you and not others? I respect fit people with a physique." "With a physique because it's much more about how good they look. Hot muscular people is about more than just a status symbol. It reflects how hard you worked for it. No money can buy this body. You cannot inherit it. You cannot touch it. You cannot steal it. You can't borrow it. You can't hold on to it without constant work. This body shows dedication. This body shows discipline."
I'm going to say fascism because, yeah. Because a lot of times I know some people out there who have some really fantastic killer fucking bodies and they barely do anything to maintain it.
Well, and let's point something out. It is a privilege to be able to go to a gym,
yeah,
and to eat healthy food, mm-hmm, and to have the time, the education, the knowledge,
the access
to things.
Yeah.
It is so much privilege to be a butterfly, cake shaming, muscle worship top.
Mm. Right.
You know, I'm not, and I'm going to, unlike the guy from, Fisher Spooner, I'm going to use my privilege up to make money.
Yeah, like with that.
Oh, like he hasn't.
Yeah.
Well, he's now saying he wants to run for president of the United States. And it's, I'm like, how many more gay men who used to be famous, but now they're, you know, they're all like, "I'm going to be running for president of the United States. If Pete Buttigieg can do it, so can I." I'm just like, oh my God. Why don't you start for city council or something?
Yeah, start reasonable.
You know, George Takei, I think he was involved with like the water reclamation plant, like
transportation
or something like that. You know, if you want to go from show business to politics, you start in your community.
Get in something in the ground.
School board.
Mm-hmm. School board.
You know, you can become an assistant to an alderman. You can do it.
How do you do it?
You just run for it.
Yeah. Get involved.
And nobody.
Carmen Nyberger running for school board.
I think Carmen Nyberger, alderman.
Oh, alderperson.
Do it.
Cake, you want your potholes
shaming
filled?
Top,
yeah.
Karma Nyberger for school board president. Are you going to eat that?
First, you're going to put the cake in the pothole. Then you're going to sit on the cake. And then, I don't know.
Seal it with some blood.
Fill it.
Yeah. Did I ever tell you guys, Mark and I, for a short minute before It Gets Better was there as a thing. We had a trend, and this is a true story, about 12 of our listeners sat on cakes to protest the Iraq war.
Mm-hmm.
And the slogan was, do you remember?
"No cake shall go unsat until we bring the troops home from Iraq."
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, yeah. I told that to somebody and she said, "That's a terrible rhyme. It barely, doesn't even rhyme." I'm like, "It's close
it's
enough,
close
you bitch.
Sat
in Iraq."
It's called a near rhyme. Yeah. It's acceptable.
Yeah.
And so the idea is that because queer people couldn't get married legally, we're also becoming cake sitting terrorists. So we would storm into somebody's wedding and sit on their cake.
Yeah, I told the wedding planner we were going to do that. She's like, "Don't do that. Please don't do that. That's the worst thing you could do to a couple." And I'm like, "Well, are you fighting for marriage equality?" She's like, "Yeah." I'm just kidding. I would never do that.
That's so funny.
But wouldn't that be funny to do that? Your cake's going to be sat on.
And for a while, it looked like it was going to catch on, like It Gets Better, but with frosting on your ass.
This is like the funniest like sketch idea I've ever heard in
this
my life.
This is not
life.
A sketch idea.
And
this
we
is
did
history.
A live podcast at the Stud in San Francisco, and we had a listener sit on a cake, Curtis, and then we had another listener who was hotter than Curtis sit on the same cake, and then Heckalina ate the hot person's ass. Who was it? Was it Sid? What was his name?
Oh, Sid. I forgot about Sid.
Hi, Sid. I hope you're still with us.
Aww. Oh, he was gorgeous.
No.
Yeah, and everybody was like,
Heckalina still talks about how delicious that cake was.
Mm-hmm.
And Heckalina didn't show up in drag, and we were all in costume and in drag.
She was,
and she wasn't.
She was shocked that people showed up.
She's like, I didn't think anybody cares about this stupid show.
This internet. People showed up because of the internet. I'm like, yes, bitch.
Yeah, people do.
Yeah,
that was at the Stud. Yeah, and so we did that in L.A. at the what is it? At the Abbey.
Akbar.
Mm-hmm. At Akbar, we did it in San Francisco at the Stud, and became like our thing, you know?
I love it. I'm like so enthralled. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yes, this
you
is
wanna
what...
Do you want me to bake you a cake and you sit on it?
Yeah.
Okay.
For quality.
Just for...
I want it to be for a purpose, though.
We did a video with Mark sitting on a cake. And there's a video of me sitting on a cake as well that's somewhere on the internet. But Mark's video didn't get posted on the internet because we got all so excited
about me sitting on a cake
that we did not ask for permission or consent. And it was this horrifying video of me, Tracy Tyler, who else was
Amanda
it?
Cohen.
Amanda Cohen grabbing cake and shoving it and Mark's body.
What?
On my face and stuff like that. I got mad. I was mad.
Oh my God, that's awful. And so everybody was so excited about you sitting on a cake. Yes. They couldn't wait. They just became a frenzy.
They became a frenzy like sharks.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was
get the cake on, Mark.
It was I felt like I was assaulted.
No.
Yeah.
It sounds
and
like
so
assault.
The thing about you don't realize what that happens is that when someone shoves cake without you prepared for it, the cake is going through your nose.
You can't breathe.
You can't breathe. It's terrifying.
Yeah, it sounds terrifying.
It's like waterboarding.
Yes.
Only cake boarding. I'm not joking. People are like, you're making fun of, waterboarding and torture. These are all true stories.
Yeah.
This actually did happen.
Yeah, no, you could have died.
I know, Mark. Aww. I'm so sorry that happened to you.
That's okay. At least you guys didn't text me to death.
Whew.
What?
Would you guys remember that story about that 17-year-old girl in Massachusetts who would send texts to her boyfriend and got him to kill himself?
No.
So they made a documentary about it, a 2-part documentary on HBO called I Love You, Now Die, The Commonwealth versus Michelle Carter. So they took her to court because they're like, bitch, you were texting this guy who, he had some mental health issues. And she, I guess, had some mental health issues, too. But she was texting him. And the things that she was texting him, though, were things that she mostly had lifted from a TV show.
What was it?
Glee.
Stop it.
Do you remember
it.
The TV show Glee and
of
how
course.
Corey Monteith died? And so she took most of the texts were from like the things that they had done during when he died. They did a tribute show to him, mm-hmm. his character, and to the actor. And remember, Lea Michele was dating the actor and the character in real life.
Wow.
Yeah. And so some of the stuff that most of those texts were like things that she had, watched the show and saw Leah's getting sympathy and stuff like that. And so then she must have been like, I want some of that sympathy myself. And so what she would text these things to him, like, you'll be in a much better place, blah, 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 blah. And then even after his death, she was like texting, like the stuff she would text to her friends was like a lot of the stuff that she saw in Glee. And so it started happening like right at the time that thing had gone on. So she was definitely influenced by that TV show.
Oh my God.
Just another crime against humanity besides auto-tuning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she became obsessed with the show, and then was just like, I'm going to have like sympathy, my boyfriend's going to commit suicide, and then everybody is going to be like, I'll be like her. Twisted, huh?
Gross.
That's intense.
That is intense.
You know,
right?
And I loved Glee that first season. And sometimes, this is why you should end a show
mm-hmm.
or evolve it into something new or
mm-hmm.
different.
Mm-hmm.
And it just felt like Glee was kind of like coast. Mm-hmm. It was huffing its own fumes.
Yeah.
It's like that dominatrix. Spoiler alert for Pose. Mm-hmm. People have been watching second season. Should we give this plot twist away of the third, the mummy episode?
Yeah.
So I guess it's just like a fetish. It's like people hook up into respirators, not just like poppers, but other kinds of drugs and stuff. And because you're not breathing oxygen, you can die from it, you know, but it gets you really, really, really high. And that's how the main character dies. And then, you know, outrageous hijinks ensue, which are actually based on a real life story on in the third episode of the second season of Pose. And, you know, in terms of this circumstance, it's like, you just got to be really careful. You know, if you're again, it's like, get some oxygen in there.
Well, this couple, I guess they'd only actually ever met a few times, but they just texted each other back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Yeah. And then it was just like, he pushed her over the edge. But yeah, there's something about that Glee show that's kind of cursed too. It's like the other guy was arrested for like child pornography.
That's right.
And then he killed himself too, because he couldn't deal with the, you know, the guilt and the shame of it all.
Yeah, and do you remember what Lady Bunny said, right?
What?
The tragedy is only one cast member of Glee was found dead in his hotel room.
Well, now there's two.
There's so two, yeah. So are you laughing now, Lady Bunny?
Oh, my God.
Let's talk about Jaden Smith, the son of Will and
what's going on with him?
Jada Pinkett Smith, right? So... are gender non-binary, you know, call them A, B, C, and D in terms of gender and sexual identity.
A little bit of everything.
A heart of gold just opened up a vegan food truck to feed homeless people.
That's awesome. So sweet.
And the venture is called I Love You Restaurant. And does it work like a normal food truck? So people can't choose what they want. Mm-hmm. Everybody gets a bowl of, you know, rice and vegetables and, you know, protein, you know, vegan protein, tofu and stuff
like
that.
It's like out in California.
Yeah. But they're handing it to all the homeless people. And like the press was like asking them, they're all like, I want fried chicken, mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I work with a lot of homeless people. Not to be, well, people can be choosy. People who have nothing can be very choosy.
Yeah.
I'm like,
just because you're homeless doesn't mean you don't have the dignity to make a choice of what you eat.
Yeah.
And part of it is the imposing, you know, I do like the idea that he's trying to encourage people to eat healthier.
Yeah, it's really difficult because this is like a lifetime of not eating healthy.
Yeah, they're trying to undo in one meal.
I heard that, like, I think, was it Thunderbird or Ripple? One of those high alcohol volume wine things that are very popular with homeless people, that they would actually put vitamins into the wine so that, because they wanted to keep their customers alive.
That's really smart.
Yeah.
That's really smart. That's like one of the first things that people come in with alcohol intoxication. They get on all these B vitamins. That's standard. They'll get folic acid, thiamine, multivitamin.
Oh, really?
And iron, along with whatever other medical.
I heard that when you go to Las Vegas, if you're too hungover or, you know, high on drugs or whatever the next day, you can go get a, like, they'll hook you up to a saline solution.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
To flush the stuff out of your system so you can party again.
Yeah. I got to find that place.
And like, I'm like,
take me to the detox spot.
I don't know. Is that a good idea? I don't know if, you know.
It'll flush it out. I mean, you're just as, it's.
Because there's neuroreceptors, that's not getting flushed out.
Right. So here's the thing. My concern is always like infection. Like, you're better off just drinking a ton of water. You know, it's a pretty quick portal
there. Dilute.
Yes.
But so getting a saline solution in Las Vegas seems like a gimmick.
Is that better for like for hangovers or no? Because isn't like an instant kind of thing?
So it seems like it might work faster, like because then you're still free to like drink water.
Okay.
In the meantime, so maybe it would work a lot faster.
What about, because I heard like too, can't you like hydrate like through your enema or something like that?
I haven't heard that. Do tell.
I don't know. I just heard that you can't hydrate. Like, if you can't, like, what was it? Was it Bear Grylls? I think he said he got, like...
drank his pee through his ass.
But he didn't drink his pee. He caught, like, rainwater or something like that and then put it through his butt. Because,
his butt
can handle the bacteria that your stomach can't.
Interesting. I gotta Google that. I'm Googling it when I get home. I can't wait.
If Bear Grylls wants me to help him put things up his butt, I'd be more than happy to.
Anytime.
Just, he's handsome.
He's very handsome.
And resourceful.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
If you were trapped on a desert island with him, he could do things.
Yeah.
To make you get through it all.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet he'd have messy sex.
I bet he would.
Yeah, he's like, I don't care. They're on a period.
He's like, I'll eat it. It's a great source of protein. Gross.
You notice that people have been licking ice cream.
Bluebonnet ice cream, right?
Bluebell.
Is that what it is?
So this is a Texas brand of ice cream. So it's probably more in the South. And their slogan is, we eat all we can and we sell the rest, which is my approach to sex, too.
Eat all you can and the rest is
free. Sell the rest. And I guess people love their, you know, Bluebell just tastes like any other ice cream.
Yeah,
it's not Haagen-Dazs, darling. You know,
yeah.
It's one of those tub of ice creams.
Yeah,
and I guess people,
you open the thing, you lick it, and then you put it back. But you know, there's surveillance because it was like the Blue Bell challenge. But now it's like, you know, there's cameras everywhere.
Yeah.
And so if you do that, they're going to catch you, and so you know, and you're going to get charged with a crime now because you're tampering with stuff.
I know you don't want that.
No,
like this.
I mean, do you really want to be arrested for licking ice cream and putting it back?
Right.
Now, what you do is you buy it and then you pretend like you did it.
Ah, that's the loophole.
And that's how you get through it.
I don't know if loving ice cream is a crime. Mm-hmm. I'm guilty.
Now, back in the day, I don't know if you remember, maybe in Indiana, if you had these or not, but the grocery carts, they used to have like ashtrays on them, so you could like walk around with your cart and have a cigarette in there,
smoke
and stuff. So it's a different world, but you know, you could buy Tylenol and maybe you had cyanide in it, maybe it didn't. And the ready whip, the ice cream, the ready whip whipped cream container things, you know, the aerosol things, the whippets, basically, those weren't sealed. So my friends would go there, take them, huff the gas out of them, and then just put them back away.
Oh, for a long time, like, you could not buy whipped cream at the grocery store. Because teenagers would get high on them.
Yeah.
They go, you know.
Oh,
and I'm like, it's the worst high. This is like, I had a roommate and a family member. Yes, it's my sister.
The same one.
The same one. And they, for like a hot minute, were into hanging out together and doing whippets. And I was just like, it is the stupidest high. It's not even a good high.
No.
It was stupid.
I did like a ready whip whip it once, and I just kind of got heady, and then I got paranoid, like just really worried that I had killed like half of my brain. I'm just such a nerd, you know. I can't get high.
You know, part of me is like, well, you know, harm reduction, it's not as bad as you're huffing, you know.
Don't huff. Huffing is the worst. I'm like, if you're going to get high, don't inject and don't huff.
Well, how are you going to get high then?
Just smoke.
Smoke, snort.
And drink.
Or drink.
Yeah, and eat.
Or pills.
Yeah. Yeah. No huffing, no injecting.
And why is injecting and huffing worse than those other intake methods? So like heroin, is it better just to swallow a heroin pill than
it's better to just snort it? Yeah, if you're going to do it, like I'm at the point where I'm telling my patients who come in with like cellulitis, like because it can get really bad. Like I've seen people like
cellulitis.
Yeah, from injecting.
So they're harming their bodies through the process because they don't know where to inject and they're just hastily
putting
it in.
Yeah, and you can just inject anywhere under the skin. Okay. Yeah. And so
you don't have to hit a vein?
You don't have to. That's IV. And then you can also do like skin popping, which is where you just like go underneath the skin and inject. And it's a lot of like dirty needles. Like maybe if we had more needle sharing programs, that would be better. But
sharing needles.
Yeah.
My favorite other drag queen.
Yeah. So now I'm just at the point where I'm like, hey, you got to stop injecting. Just smoke it or sniff it. But don't inject it. I'm not here to judge. Just don't.
Do they heed your advice?
I doubt it.
They're like, fuck you, Karma.
I know.
Don't tell me how to get high.
Shut up, nurse.
What do you know about getting high? I've been shooting up since I was 10. I'm like,
bring me a spoon.
Really?
And a lighter.
Is it like that?
No, they've been shooting up since they were like 19, I think. Aww. And I'm just like, oh, man.
So, I'm sorry, but the Bluebell challenge, there's been a response by Bluebell Ice Cream. They're putting plastic on the top of it.
I think they're considering putting plastic
on the top. They're considering putting
plastic. Like, maybe let's not go crazy.
All the other ice creams have been putting plastic on forever.
Well,
you're like,
it's
we'll
Texas.
Think about
well,
it.
Well, they're starting now at Walmarts and, you know, places like that where basically you walk in and there's nobody working there. That's why there's meth labs in Walmart.
What?
Yeah, so it's really, I guess, very entrepreneurial junkies find all the ingredients they need to make meth, mm-hmm. shake and bake, basically, inside a Walmart, and then they hide it in the drop ceilings in the bathrooms.
Whoa.
And because I guess it gives off fumes, you know, they don't get caught, and the Walmarts are basically, like, not... They have like four people working them, you know?
Yeah.
So they go into the Walmarts at 3 a.m.
Just like little meth
labs. Make their little meth lab and then come back a week later and collect it.
Oh my gosh.
And so they find meth labs to this day all the time at Walmart, 24-hour Walmarts in the South. And wow. Because, you know, not going to regulate these things. And yeah. And Walmarts, but they are trying to protect the ice cream. So they're putting padlocks on the ice cream freezers and asked to see an attendant, and there's like nobody there, you know. So it's actually hurting ice cream sales. So Häagen-Dazs.
I know, I'm like, I can't say anything because I'm so sad. I'm like, oh God.
Häagen-Dazs issue a statement. They went, this is not a real language because Häagen-Dazs is a made up word.
I didn't know that.
It was made to sound Dutch, though, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
They're like, yeah, whatever. It's Pillsbury that owns Häagen-Dazs or something like that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You didn't know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's not some fancy Euro brand. No.
Hell no, honey. That's American. Fuck that shit. What do you guys think about, like, eating food at the grocery store before you check out? And I notice this is, like, my white privilege.
Yeah.
Because I look at them, I'm like, I'm going to pay for this.
Yeah.
And they're like, what if you don't have money? What if your credit card's not working? Then what?
My mother used to always eat stuff, like, especially like candy bars and stuff like that. She'd give us a candy bar, that kind of thing, and just give it to it. And then she'd like put the empty wrapper on the thing and be like, I'll pay for this too, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
But is that like considered like in poor taste?
Listen, if you're hungry, eat it. If you're going to pay for it, eat it. Sometimes we'll get like chicken wings and Foster will eat a couple before we get
Katie's that's like, kind I'm really of fun. Hungry. Oh, I'm really hungry.
One of our listeners writes on Instagram. You can chat with us on Feast of Fun. And his question is, why don't I have a boyfriend?
I don't know. Why doesn't he have
yeah,
that's
why
the, that's
doesn't
the only
he,
question.
Why doesn't he have
And I'm
a
like,
one?
Probably because you're whiny.
Yeah.
And part of it is like, and I get this question. We get this question from time to time. It comes in floods.
Well, yeah.
Is it like the loneliness epidemic? And, you know, summer's here and people want, you see on social media pictures of couples or friends having fun, going to the beach, going to dinners, going on vacations. And here you are, you're like, I'm just sitting here alone watching Stranger Things till 4 a.m, you know?
Well, that's your problem. You're sitting at home alone. You got to get out there. Join a meetup or something. That's what my therapist told me to do.
Get volunteer.
Well, the other thing, too, is like you say, why don't I have a boyfriend? Like, it's examine the question itself. Mm-hmm. Why don't I have this object?
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Is it this person is a person. They're not just an object. They're not a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
They're a human being.
Yeah.
So you have to say first, like, why am I not meeting a human being?
Yeah.
You know, think about it in that sense, you know, so go to the first part of it and figure out how are you going to meet somebody who's, has, you know, that's alive.
Shared interest.
So that's the kind of thing that you want to go from there. And so like, how are you going to go out meeting them? You know, can you do a dating app that seems to be very popular? You know, but I think for gay men, a lot of people think of those dating apps as just hookup apps. It's just going to be sex right away. And maybe that's not what you want. But oftentimes, you know, if it's good sex and if it's a good connection, maybe you can make a relationship work out of it. Like you said, with Fausto, you have to find some kind of common interest, you know, know, Faust and I think are together for so long because we work on projects together too. So it's, we're enriching the life that we have outside of the bedroom in a creative kind of way.
I love that.
That was beautiful.
Because I agree with that 100%.
I do too.
But part of it is like, you know, and I want to kind of rewrite the why do I respect fit people thing. Why I have a boyfriend. This is from the vantage point of somebody who thinks about relationships as a commodity.
Mm-hmm.
It's like an attractive boyfriend is a status symbol. It reflects how hard you worked for it. No money can buy an attractive boyfriend.
That's not
you
true.
Can't inherit it. You can't steal it. You cannot borrow it. You can't hold on to it without constant work. I think this is a regressive point of view that goes to your body. The way you treat your body is also the way you treat other people and your relationships. And part of it is to cultivate an atmosphere of acceptance, of unconditional love.
Aww.
To love yourself exactly the way you are and get excited about goals and journeys and destinations and the paths that you can take with someone or alone by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I'm so excited to be a muscle worship top butterfly cake shaming.
I'm here for
like,
it.
I'm like, this
you're
is
not going to be able to do it with a straight face. That's the thing.
That's okay. You know, I want to make mistakes along the way.
Well, let's practice on karma. Karma?
Yeah.
Can you be like a sub bottom?
Yeah.
No, just here's the cake.
Oh, yay.
Start eating. Are you sure you want to eat all that?
Mm. You know, there's a lot of calories in that cake.
Oh. I'm sorry, this is really funny.
You're so cute, I just want to feed you more cake.
Would you like vanilla
scoop
strawberry?
Of bluebell ice cream with freshly licked.
Good.
Remember, folks, we can't do this podcast without your support. Go to blue butterfly muscle top ice cream cake shaming.com. No, I'm just kidding. It's feastofun.com/plus and become a member. We are on Patreon. Become a member on Patreon, patreon.com/feastofun, and you can enter our world just like the Little Mermaid.
No.
Oh, you don't have to give up your voice. In fact, it's about empowering your voice.
Mm-hmm. Larry just signed up for Patreon today. Thank you very much, Lawrence.
Gracias, Lola von Miramar.
Ooh, yay, thanks.
One of the greatest drag queens of all time.
All time. All
yeah, I want to like, if I could actually, we applied for this grant with a very big, you know, media
organization.
Company. Organization. Mm-hmm. Where I was trying to like basically get Mark and I and Larry to travel to Latin America and interview queer people in
yes.
far off communities. And I thought that would be really fantastic.
That would be
they said
awesome.
No.
And they're oh. like, no, I don't think so.
You didn't use Larry's name in it.
Yes, though. I did.
You did?
Yes, sir. Yes, I did. Si, senor. Yes, oh. yes, yes.
Did you get Larry's permission?
Yes.
Okay.
I've been talking about this with Larry.
Oh.
He knows.
I didn't see his name in the document.
Well, I submitted too.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Yes. And I think I'm still going to, like, this is a dream of mine, too.
Yeah.
Besides to be a butterfly muscle worship top cake shamer, I also want to, like, do a series about interviewing, talking to queer people in Latin America for an English-speaking audience.
Yeah. Do you have any particular countries in mind?
I want to go to Oaxaca.
Oh, yeah. I've been Mexico. Wanting to go to Oaxaca.
They have the third sex parade there.
I didn't know that. Mushes. I just wanted to eat food.
I want to talk to the transgender basket taco sales lady.
Tacos.
Tacos de canasta tacos.
When she's my friend on Facebook.
You are friends with
yeah.
her?
Yeah.
I love her.
When is it? When's the parade?
It's all the fun.
I don't know. We'll find out when it's going.
Okay. Let's go.
Let's go to Oaxaca.
Let's go. Fun. Hey, guys.
Thank they you eat crickets in Oaxaca.
They do?
Let's try them.
Yeah.
I've never
cricket
had
tacos.
One.
Tacos.
Ooh, but they're a nice crunch.
Hey guys, thank you so much for listening. Remember, you can follow Karma. What
Whatever.
Is
Facebook? I'll put a link. Karma Ray Gold.
Yeah, it's still up as Karma Ray Gold. I haven't gotten around to changing it.
Didn't get the gold, but you got the ray.
Yeah,
of sunshine, a big thick ray of sunshine, uncut ray of sunshine. streaming through her window, making things hot. But not when she is on her period.
Yeah, I know.
But we're working on that.
Yeah.
That's a relationship about negotiation.
Yes.
Right.
It's about trying different sheets.
Next up, white sheets.
Yeah. Any color. You keep experimenting with a color to get the one that works.
Yeah.
Get rust colored.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's the one.
It's like a yolk on a yellow bill.
Bye-bye.
Bye.